crazy. Welcome. Lots happened this week. It's been a pretty crazy week. If you pay any attention to the news, you know that early in the week there was a shooting in Louisiana that was pretty controversial, and there was another shooting later in the week in Minneapolis, and the girl that was with the guy who got shot videotaped the whole thing, or at least after he was shot on. Gruesome stuff. And then who'd ever thought that what would happen in Dallas happened? That unfolding was crazy. And so I was just paying a lot of attention to the news this week. And then I ran across this article on my phone. I was just kind of looking through the news, flipping through the news. And I ran across this article that said, America's current violence can be traced to Christian failures. America's current violence can be traced to Christians' failures. And I thought, oh, what in the world? Why would anybody do this? Why would anybody write this? Well, it's a pastor that wrote it, Tony Evans. If you've ever heard Tony, he's a remarkable speaker. But I just want to read this little short couple paragraphs because it captivated me, what he was saying. And in one part of it, he said, one of the real tragedies today is that the church as a whole has not furthered God's light, equity, love, and principles in our land. One of the real tragedies is that the church as a whole has not furthered God's light, equity, love, and principles in our land in order to be a positive influence and an impact for good in the midst of darkness, fear, and hate. Far too often, we have limited the definition of the church. While not in all cases, but in many cases, church has become an informal, inspirational weekly gathering rather than a group of people that God has ordained from heaven to operate on his behalf on the earth in order to bring heaven's viewpoint into history. There needs to be a recalibrating of many of our churches to the unified purpose of the kingdom of God. It's a stinging kind of article, you know, an indictment against the Christians who don't do this outside the four walls of the church. And part of it really stung me as well, because I wonder where I would be in the midst of a situation like in Baton Rouge or Minneapolis or Dallas, and how I would respond. And I think the Lord is preparing us for times like this. He's preparing us to live in this day. I think he's preparing us in a way that's different than he's prepared any other time, because this time is different than any other time. So the one thing that I keep hearing from the Lord over and over again this past couple years has been, pay attention, pay attention. Watch what's going on around you. Listen to what people are saying. And remember that the kingdom of God is always there. It's never somewhere else. It's never like off in a distance. This article, when I first started reading it, I thought it was going to be, you know, Christians are this or Christians are that. What it was coming from a pastor whose heart is that the kingdom of God really changed the world. And I still believe it. I still believe we've been called to change the culture in this region. And we've got everything we need. There's nothing we're lacking. We don't need to do this or be this in order to become world changers or culture changers. I think that we've got everything we need. Now, I so appreciate Jody just reinforcing this whole idea that we have to go public with our God. We have to be this everywhere else too, and not just in this building. And it's a hard thing to do because we're so tuned in to wanting to be accepted and wanting to be successful and wanting to feel good and wanting to be comfortable. It's hard to do this outside, but I think it's worth it. And this article just stirred me up in that way. Because we've been given so much. And I want to talk about the greatest gift we've been given. And, you know, salvation, I think, would be what most Christians would say is the greatest gift we've been given. I think there's a gift greater than salvation. And that's life. We're alive. God brought us to life. And he brought every single person on this earth to life. It's not just Christians. He created every single person, good and bad, short and tall, fat and skinny. Some of us haven't stewarded that part of it too well. But, he created life. Everything that we have has come from him. And I was thinking about this whole idea of the life that he's given as a gift, and it's a gift from God. It's a gift that he's blessed us with. It says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, Jeremiah is writing about what God told him about himself. So Jeremiah is with the Lord, and the Lord speaks to Jeremiah and says this about Jeremiah. He said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you to be my prophet to the nations. Can you imagine the Lord saying that to you? Just speaking out your destiny? I think many of you, you're getting a clearer and clearer picture of the reason that you were brought into this world. But it was a gift. The church is big into the sanctity of life. We think life is really important. A few years ago, Ravi Zacharias, a brilliant philosopher and Christian teacher, was taking questions and answers from a group of people at Ohio State University. And he was actually a phone call that was coming in, and the person was on the phone. A woman asked him, or said this to him, she didn't really ask him, all you people are trying to do is promote your agenda. And what she was talking about, obviously, was abortion. she said, you want to take away our rights and invade our private lives. And prior to this question, the question, abortion hadn't even been brought up as a topic. So Dr. Zacharias said this. He said, wait a minute. We haven't even raised this subject yet. All right, what's your position on abortion, the woman said. And he said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? And he said, as I lecture in universities across America, often someone will stand up and say, God is an evil God because he allows evil in this world. You ever heard that? She said, that's right. And he said, the person typically says a plane crashes and 30 people are killed and 20 people survive. What kind of God is so evil that he would choose to let some live and some die? Dr. Zacharias continued, but when we play God, we determine whether a child in its mother's womb should live or die. We argue the choice is our moral right. So when a human being has the privilege of playing God, it's called a moral right. But when God plays God, we call it an immoral act. I don't know how people think like this. I mean, he's a brilliant man, but I don't know how you have, and he's a, what do you call it when you're somebody who argues for something? An apologist. He's a Christian apologist. And so he argues with people a lot. He's done debates with Satanists, with agnostics, with atheists. And his reasoning and the way he works through these questions is really amazing to me. And so he said, so when a human being is privileged of playing God, it's called moral right. But when God plays God, we call it an immoral act. Can you justify that for me? And of course, she didn't have an answer. Because part of that comes from the fact that we know where life comes from. All life. Not just, it's not like just some Christians were born out of this shoot and non-Christians were born out of this shoot. It's an irrational thought that or conclusion you come to that God isn't the author of all life. Not just us, but animals, plants. He brings life into the world. And we've been called to procreate. That's just being part of that creation process. He lets us even be involved in that process. But when we think about the sanctity of life, we need to realize God's the originator. He's the one who provides life. Why would we think it was our choice to take it away, take life away? God's the only one who sanctifies it, and he actually protects it too. Like in Sunday school, Carrie Beth is, and Mike and Renee and the rest of the teachers have been teaching the kids the Ten Commandments over the last couple of years. One of the commandments that's in Exodus 20, verse 13 says, thou shalt not kill. What the commandment is saying is, God gives life. Who are you to say that it should be taken away? Most of us feel we have a right to life. Life is ours to do whatever we want, which cripples us at some points because we can't express what that life is really about because we don't understand how much of a gift it is. Life is a gift, and how we steward that gift is really important. So I want to talk about stewarding life, the life we've been given. Starting from the place where we understand that life is given to us as a gift. Every one of us received life from God. He knew us before creation, he knew us, which I don't know how that works. But he's very smart. He's a smart God. Barb Spears used to say that. I love Jesus because he's so smart. So what does God want with this gift? What does he want us to accomplish with this gift? The truth is that what matters most to God is that we bear fruit, that we produce fruit from this gift. So he's given us life, and he calls us to produce fruit. That's where John 15 is one of my favorite sections of Scripture, just because it paints such a clear picture of how we do life in concert with God. Because I think sometimes people think that he's kind of like this person who gives his opinion every once in a while, far off, and we live life, and every once in a while he'll interject an opinion. And then some people think that he just controls everything. So he's like a puppet master, just kind of working us to get his end result. Neither one of those is true at all. The reality is he's given us life, and then he's called us to steward the life that we've been given, to manage the life we've been given. It says in John 15, verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you, or abide, or live. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. That's really clear. But he goes on to say in verse 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. So it's not just fruit, but there's a quantity, there's a quality to the fruit that he wants us to produce. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then in verse 7 through 8, it says, this is the part I really like the most. It says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, I'm not sure that's a real Christian? But here Jesus is talking about that. There are some true disciples, and those are the ones who bear much fruit. I'm not saying that some people are less than a disciple or a miniature disciple or a junior disciple, but there's a value to the depth of our understanding how God looks at us and sees us that we need to catch here. This brings great glory to my Father when you do this. So he wants us to bear much fruit, a lot of fruit. And I love this when he says, you can ask for anything you want and it will be granted in this section of Scripture. And yet we've asked for things that he hasn't granted. And sometimes I think it's simply because he just wants us to ask. He's responsible for the fruit. I mean, it does flow through us, but he's responsible for it. But the more we stay connected with him, the more we're going to ask for the very things that he wants to do. Which is remarkable, that if we stay connected with Jesus, we will eventually ask for what he wants us to do anyway. I love that. I love the way that he does this with us together, that he's not like a dictator who says, thus saith me, you're going to do this stuff, and it's going to work out right, and if you don't do it well, you're out of here. It's not like that at all. He has so much grace. I mean, the kind of grace that allows us to be ourselves, but also the kind of grace that empowers us to do things that are impossible. He gives us that kind of grace. It's remarkable to me. So how we steward life has a direct impact on the fruit that we bear in life, you know? How we steward the life we've been given has a direct impact on how much fruit we give. We are able to, So I want to look at a couple ideas that have to do with the basics of stewardship. There's stewardship or managing things or orchestrating things or being responsible for the care of things. I just like stewardship because it's kind of an older term that I think that the Lord really likes that word. I think he likes the word stewardship. I think when Adam was created and then he was asked to steward the earth, God asked Adam to steward the earth. What did that mean? Well, it meant to manage it, to have an influence in the earth. And I think that he wants us to have influence in Kelso Longview through our stewardship of life. It's how we handle our life. So there's a couple things that have to do with stewardship that are really important. One is ownership. Stewardship is the committing myself and my possessions to God's service, recognizing that I do not have the right of control over over the property itself. We just have an influence over things. It says in Psalm 24, in a really clear way, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. So it's not just the Christians that he orchestrates life over, but it's everything and everyone. He's not just the Lord of Christians, he's the Lord of the earth. So he has an influence over everything. So you can see that in a situation like what exists, unfolded this week, we can have an impact on the world around us, even in the midst of that kind of chaos and craziness. We can have an influence because if we understand that it's all his, then we can be a voice for his lordship over the earth. I mean, I don't know how many times I have tried to comfort somebody who's going through a difficult time. Oh, I know. Jody and I were praying for her niece yesterday, who's having a hard time having children. And I was praying, and you know how you do when you pray. You ask the Lord, "What do you want me to pray? How do you want me to pray for this?" Because they have been unable to have a child so far. And the Lord said really clearly, "I've got this." That's what it means. That's what that scripture means. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. I mean, all the earth is under his lordship. And so I just spoke into her life. God's got this. You need to know that the Lord's got this. The timing, perfect timing is in his hands. And I think she was feeling hope from that, because I think from her standpoint, she thinks something's wrong with me or something's wrong with my husband. We can't do this because something's wrong with us. And yet the Lord knows everything that needs to be done. He knows how it all works. This is another brilliant man. C.S. Lewis said this: every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving your limbs from moment to moment, is given to you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his already. And so everything we're giving, everything we're living and breathing comes in the context of his ownership. He is the Lord over it all. So in the beginning of Genesis, God creates everything and puts Adam in the garden to work it and to take care of it. And it was clear from that section of scripture that man was created to work, and the work is the stewardship of all creation. So God was created to have influence over everything. So that's why I think when we pray, "Lord, let us have an influence over our culture in this region so we change the culture to more line up with the kingdom of God," I don't think that's a crazy prayer. I think we can do that moment by moment, day by day. That's why I spend so much time in coffee shops, because that's where it's all going to start. I can't tell you the number of times I've had conversations with atheists, even spiritists, people who are not even close to Christians, and we have gathered together around a table and a little bit of coffee and talked about the most important things in life. We can change it from the inside. It doesn't have to be this cataclysmic thing that comes externally. We can change our culture in this region from the inside. So ownership's the first thing. Responsibility. As God's stewards, we're able to manage that which belongs to God. He's graciously entrusted us with this responsibility. This responsibility to care, develop, and enjoy everything he's created. That's what it means to steward. It doesn't just mean to control. Stewardship is not control of things. It's the management of things. Some things have life of their own, and you have to make way for that. You can't fix everybody, and you can't fix everything. You can't make everything work right. As a steward, you realize that pretty quickly. The goal isn't to control life around you, it's to steward it. So some things have life, and you have to let them play out, and then you involve your influence in the process and let it steer a certain direction that's profitable to the kingdom of God. And that's what it means to have responsibility. So although God gives us all things richly to enjoy, nothing is really ours. Nothing really belongs to us. God owns everything, and we're responsible how we treat it and what we do with it. Owners have rights. God's the owner. Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. And we have a tremendous responsibility on the earth today. So ownership, responsibility, accountability is another thing that we, as part of stewardship. A steward is someone who manages the possessions of another. And there's a great picture of this in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. In fact, all of Matthew 25, the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents and the end part where it talks about the kingdom of God and how it explodes on the earth is all a really important thing to listen to and to get and to understand. It says in 25 verse 21, the master was full of praise. He was talking about his servant who had been fruitful with the things that he'd given him. The Lord had given each of these three guys something to invest. Two of them invested it. One of them hid it because apparently he was afraid his boss was going to be mad at him if he didn't create a fruitful situation. And so it didn't go very well for that guy. But for the guys who invested it and it was fruitful, he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. And I think that's where we're heading. If we'll be responsible, and for us, for Evangel, a lot of that is just, it all comes out of Psalm 145. God's going to do some amazing things. It's our responsibility to communicate those to the next generation and to bring those things out into the open so he gets glorified. Did you guys get the, I'm not sure Jody made this really clear. The boy's name was Olin. That was his name. When she was at the lake and heard that name spoken, the Lord was saying to her, that's the name of the child that you're praying for. You don't know his name. That ended up being his name. I mean, doesn't that just make you marvel at God? You just think, he is so smart. He can do so much. He's so effective at what he does. So, ownership, responsibility, and accountability are all part of being a steward. Reward is an important part of being a steward. In the parables of the kingdom, the Bible reveals that faithful stewards who do the master's will with the master's resources can expect to be rewarded incompletely in this life, but fully in the next. But we will be rewarded either way. And I think I'm just going to... I'm going to skip over that right now. Let's go down to how do we steward well the life we've been given? The first thing is stay connected with the vine no matter what, no matter what you're going through. Randy and I have had some talks recently about where he's at physically and how he's feeling about it. And the thing that I think is remarkable about Randy and his walk with God and also his walk through illness right now is that, one, is the faithfulness of God. God has been so faithful, but Randy's been so faithful. Amen. I mean, Randy has been really faithful. And, you know, I've known him for a long time, and he used to preach that a lot. But it would be so easy in the situation he's now, the battle he's in now, to just do a lot of things differently than the way he's doing it. He's really being faithful. And God loves it when we're faithful in the midst of adversity. I don't know how to tell you that enough, but I know some of you have been through difficult things. You can't imagine how blessed, well, you can if you're a parent. You can imagine this, because if you're a parent, you know what it's like when your children are faithful to goodness, to the goodness of God, faithful to righteousness or faithful to the truth, and without your input and without your leading and guiding them. But when they come up with one of these brilliant things out of nowhere and you're thinking, man, is this the same kid that, you know, I raised as a younger child? I'm just amazed. Where'd you come up with that? God's the same way with us when we're faithful. He's surprised, obviously, but he's delighted when we're faithful. He is delighted. It doesn't make any difference how rich you are, how beautiful you are, or how influential you are of the people around you. When you choose righteousness and choose truth, he's so delighted in us. He delights so much. And I know what that's like as a parent, because I know how delighted I am when my kids choose to do well without being coaxed into it. That's just what they want to do. And I think we need to stay soundly connected. And when fruit comes, you can expect pruning and submit to it. And that section of scripture in John 15, one of the things that really throws Christians for a loop is that he doesn't say that, he says that if you're a leaf that, or you're a branch that doesn't produce fruit, you'll be broken off. That's not saying that, that's not you. He's not breaking you off and throwing you away. But he does say that every branch that produces fruit, so that tells me every branch produces fruit, right? He just wants a lot of fruit. He wants it to be really well connected. Every branch produces fruit. And when you produce fruit, I am going to prune you. Bless you. And we think, oh no, pruning, that's terrible, that's terrible. I don't think it's that terrible. I really don't think it's that terrible. Many of you know that over the last 3 years, I have been caring for my grandmother and my mom and dad, and it has been an overwhelmingly difficult thing. I never thought I'd have to do some of the things I have had to do in their lives. It snuck up on me. I'd heard about it. Wayne has told me about it. Other people who have gone before have told me about it, but I didn't. I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to be the parent to my parents, who were like children now. But it's just part of life, and I am very thankful that I had the experience of walking with my parents through the end of their lives the way that I have. In fact, my brothers and I met yesterday and took my grandmother's, my mom's, and my dad's 5 boxes of ashes, which is really heavy. And my mom said they wanted her ashes to be sprinkled at Fall Creek, which is and their house is in Klaskanai above the ball field up here. Fall Creek is that little creek that comes down in the gully, and there's actually a couple waterfalls in there. It's a beautiful place. So we went back there yesterday morning, and we took all 4 boxes and totally polluted the water. But it's a fast-moving stream, so I'm sure everything's going to be fine. But it was pretty remarkable how it changed the water. But we placed their ashes into this stream down below this waterfall, and it was a deeply spiritual time. And it wasn't because we read a great scripture or sang a song. I'd heard somebody did that, a member of their family was an opera singer and sang, and I thought, oh, that'd be so cool. But here we are in this kind of grotto with a waterfall, about a 15-foot waterfall behind us, and that's where my mom wanted to do this. So, you know, that's just part of the journey. Yesterday was part of the journey. It doesn't seem like it's over yet, but it was an important part of the journey. So anyway, my mom passed away on June 4th, and I was feeling like, I don't know how I feel. I actually, a couple days before she passed away, I met with the elders, and I just sat down. I was pooped. It had been a rough weekend. And I said, I think I need a break. And they all looked at me like, well, it's about time. We've been trying to tell you that for years. We've been trying to tell you for years you need to take a break. Because it's been like 25 plus years of pretty straight caring for people. And it's work. I mean, I don't care what you think about how I preach or how I lead worship. The most important thing I do is walk with people. And that's hard at times. I mean, I love it. It's the best thing. I'm so glad that in my scroll it says, walk with people. You know? I'm so glad that that part is there because I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. There's nothing better than knowing that you're walking in your destiny. How you walk in it, you know, sometimes it feels good. Sometimes it doesn't feel like I'm doing a very good job. Most of the time it feels like I'm being obedient to the thing I've been called to do. But in this case, for the last 3 years, it's been a lot of work. And I knew that because when people would come up to me and say, I'm sorry for the loss of your mother, my immediate response was, oh, I'm relieved because it's been so hard. I'm glad she's not in any pain. I'm glad that she is not experiencing anymore. I'm glad they're at rest. I'm glad they're with Jesus. And the whole time I'm not even validating the fact that they care about me. You know, that they're saying, I'm sorry for your loss, because their assumption is that it hurts. And I realize, I don't even know if it hurts. I don't know how I feel. I turned off my emotions about 3 or 4 years ago when I started doing these things like I'd never done before. I'd having to do these really difficult tasks. I kind of turned everything off. And I realized I need to turn things back on. I need to get this thing turned on. I need to get my emotions back, you know. I need to feel again. I need to, when somebody comes up and says, I'm sorry for your loss, I need to know that there's a loss there. And it's not just a change in schedule or a change in the dynamics of our family's life. So I came in that day to the elders and said, I think I need to take a break. And I think I need to separate myself from caring for people for a little bit and let the Lord care for me. Yeah. And not just because I need it, but because I need to model it. I can't tell people to do something I've never done. And so when I'm walking through a difficult time with situation with people, I can't tell them to, you need to take care of yourself, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. And if they look at my life and they say, well, you don't do it, why should I? You know, I need it for myself first, but I also need to model that well for the people around me. So I looked at the schedule, and we're going to Sun River this year, which we do every year, forever and ever, amen. Right, Cindy? We're going in August, so it seemed like a good time. So I figured that, I don't know how much is enough, you know? But I know it's more than a week. It's probably more than 2 weeks. I wanted to make sure that I got this done right. So I am planning on taking 5 weeks off and just unplugging from evangel, unplugging from my responsibilities. Jody's not going to let me unplug from my marriage, and I'm really thankful for that. I'm really glad she wants me to stay plugged into that. But I'm gonna journal the whole time, which any of you know me know I despise journaling, but I think it's an important part of this process, and I need to do that. The first couple days that I'm off, I'm gonna hike up Mount Rainier with no brains. Actually, there's a few brains. I actually got a few pieces of equipment that will help me do that well. But I didn't want to just sit around and think about Jesus. I wanted to expend myself. I wanted to pour myself out in a way other than emotional, other than caring for people. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to a conference. I'm going to do vacation, go down and see my kids. And then I've actually got a week where I'm not planning anything because I figured I was planning too much. So part of the answer is not planning. But the reason why I'm telling you all this is, for one, I want you to know what's going on in my life. And although also we set up a 6-week teaching where people that you're not used to hearing teach are going to teach for 6 weeks through Romans 8. They're going to teach that whole chapter. So that'll be good. Wayne's going to start that on July 31st. So, I just know that God's given me everything. I've been the recipient of a lot. And I'm really thankful because in these last 3 years, I've had to give a lot. And it was like flowing through me. It wasn't hard. I mean, it was hard, but it wasn't hard. It's not like I had to dig for compassion and dig for faithfulness and dig for truth. It was all there. It was flowing through me, but it's like this rush through me of, you know, like caring and compassion and taking care of things. Trying to be a good son, you know, by just letting it flow through me. But in the process, I think I've kind of shut down some areas of my life too, and I want to recover those, because where evangel's going, where we're going in the days ahead, I'm going to need to be on my game. I'm going to need to know how I feel about things. I mean, I think the next 5 to 10 years for me is going to be letting go of things. And not so much doing things anymore, but allowing others to do things and letting go so that I can be there to support and strengthen those who will lead next. I think that, and that's going to be, you may think that that's easy, like I'm just going to sit back and cruise and sit in a rocking chair and enjoy the ride. But I don't think so. I want to be involved in the process, but not in the way that I'm doing everything all the time, but I'm helping someone else be successful or some other people be successful. So I'm going to need to be on my game. And so what I'd like to do with the remaining 10 minutes or so before the kids come out is I would like you to pray for me. And I have no hesitation about encouraging you to pray for me, because if it's the same thing. If I'm picking on you all the time saying, you need prayer, we need to pray for you, we need to pray for you, and I'm never encouraging people to pray for me, there's something messed up about that picture. So I want to allow you some time. So maybe Chris, are you here? Maybe you could do some awesome release of prayer ministry music. You know, that stuff that you do. And I'm just gonna let you pray for me. I encourage you to speak into my life, because I need that. I need you. We need each other. It's not like I'm special, so I need all the attention today. There's nothing about me that wants attention right now. In fact, I'd just as soon be somewhere else. But the Lord has said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be alive. I want you to not just receive life from me, but I want you to be alive.
Yeah.
I want you to be alive. Yeah. So, and you know, if anybody else has anything they want to say, you can say that now or forever hold your peace.
So same rules you gave us before. And use a mic so we hear and can agree. So unless you have something that you think shouldn't be spoken publicly, but you can write it down and give it to him later. But keep it brief. Give people time. And if you're going to give them scripture, give them a verse or two. Don't give them 3 books. So he needs to be able to digest it. He'll have it recorded. So Lord, we just come with our brother, Jeff. And ask that you would refresh him, Lord. You would renew him. We just speak our love for him, our respect for him, Lord, for what you've done in him, what we've seen you do in him, Lord, that he's been obedient to you, Lord. And just continue that, Lord.
Because 5 is the number of grace. And so, Lord God, we just pray for this time for Jeff, Lord, that it would be a time wrapped in your grace, that it would be wrapped in your presence, that you, Lord, as you said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I just pray that you would release in him an understanding of that for him, Lord God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Just, Lord, does a pottery say to the potter that made us, why has thou made us thusly? Lord, Jeff is an administrator, but he's a shepherd. He is complicated, and here he is going to sit down and take a rest, and I just pray your breath in that place of rest for him, Lord, and just that you'd free him, you'd clip, Lord, the things that bind him. This is a lovely place, that this would be a lovely place, a place that he can look back and say, I connected so much deeper with my Father, because I know that's his desire, Lord, freedom to him. And refreshing over him, Lord, and just that you are about He is about your business, and he's going to be about your business and with more freedom and excellence because of this decision he's made, Lord.
Thank you for the courage it took for Jeff to ask for this today, God. It's not easy to ask for yourself sometimes, especially when you're so strong as a leader. I just bless who you created Jeff to be and the many facets of his life, Lord God, that some of them are seen, but most of them are only known by you. Yes. And I know, God, that in this hour you are going to deposit some things in Jeff that are just going to astound him, that he is going to awaken to these areas, Lord God, that only you know about, that are in his heart, that are deeply there, God, embedded by you. Like he said, because he was created with you before the foundation of time. And there are things yet unseen that are going to come forth in this time, that he pursues you, God, that he just lays himself down before you and gives you an opportunity to speak to him. I know he wants to comfort you, Jeff. He gave me a dream about that. And maybe someday I'll share that with you because it was pretty funny. But he wants your heart to be comforted right now. There is some comfort the Lord has for you, and it may bring tears, and you may not like it. But God knows that you need it. And I think that once you go through that, you're going to realize, oh my gosh, I feel so much better because I was able just to be real before my daddy, God. So we just bless your time with God and all that will look like and mean for you.
Father, in those areas where Jeff had to detach from some of the emotion of dealing with issues with the elderly, grandparents and parents, Lord, that I ask that your Holy Spirit would just reopen those places for him now and let the compassion, the empathy, and those things that are necessary in our lives as believers to flow once again. Thank you, Jesus, for this godly man who does care so much for the body of Christ and has been so faithful in walking out this call you've had on his life, Lord. I just thank you for Jeff, Lord.
When you first asked us to come up and speak over you, the first thing that came to my mind is, Jeff, you have been a very good friend to all of us. You may be our pastor, but you've been a great friend. And I just felt like God wants to reveal how good of a friend you are to him. And that so I just pray right now, Lord, that you would reveal the friendship that you desire and that you want with Jeff, and that you will touch him with your friendship and reveal your love for him. We just thank you for it.
As you were talking, Lord took me back to the book, The Shack, that he got to meet with his daddy. He got to meet with his father. He got to meet with the Lord, whatever that looks like in your life. But you also asked for the switch of emotion to be turned back on. And Lord, I stand with Jeff. And I know you've heard that request from Jeff, that switch of emotion turns back on, whatever that looks like in his life. Lord, that you, in the very first day, really even in the very first step as he walks up Mount Rainier to where he is going to go, you fill his breath with, or his lungs with your breath. He takes that step and those emotions start, that button starts to be depressed and pressed by you. Lord, fill those lungs with your breath, especially as he's walking up a mountain. Lord, breathe into him. Breathe into him.
The scripture that was going through my mind for you is that blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And sometimes mourning is an overpowering heaviness. That's not the enemy, and it's not anything wrong, but it's just a time of mourning. And I just want to encourage you to allow yourself the freedom to take that time and let Jesus minister to you his love and his comfort. And I pray, Father, that you just saturate Jeff with your peace, that you wrap your loving arms around him and you hold him close. You let him hear your heartbeat. Let him just sense the power of your love all over his life. And give him back, Lord, what he's put on the shelf. And I pray that you would open doors for him to go through, that you give him wisdom on how to lead this body according to your will. And we just thank you for Jeff, Lord. I've known you a long, long time, Jeff, and you are so precious, and I'm so thankful that God put you in my life.
Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. That always you're faithful, always you're holy, Lord. Always you're our best friend, Lord God. And you know, when I asked you, what should we pray for Jeff? What should I pray for Jeff? Immediately I thought of a rainbow, and so I think that means promise, your promises, Lord. So I would ask you, Father, in Yeshua's holy name, that you'd remind my brother and friend Jeff of your promises, Lord, of your promises to him. And that can mean all your promises in your holy word, but it also can mean all your promises to our dear friend Jeff that perhaps he's never even shared with anyone. So during this time off, Lord, would you bring to memory to Jeff your promises, Lord? And then couple that with his deep knowing and trusting of your faithfulness, Lord God, to bring those promises to pass, Lord. And I'd ask you for Jeff, Lord, that during this time your great grace would fall in the form of, at times, Lord, your weighty presence, Lord God. That your weighty presence, Lord, would come to my brother.
Lord, I just pray that during these 5 weeks that you would reveal parts of your heart to Jeff that he's never experienced before. That you would allow him in his quiet time with you, in his time with family on the hike, that you would allow him to see things with his eyes, to see things with his heart, to experience your presence so greatly that he would be overwhelmed to the point of just brokenness, Lord. Just break him so that he can be built back up. Restore him, Jesus, during this time. Bring a renewal and a refreshing, Jesus. Papa, I pray that you would just wash over Jeff. Wash over him with your love, with your peace, but mostly with your presence. My heart is that you would just walk alongside of him and allow him to hold your hand and just be his daddy. Thank you for Jeff.
Oh, when you asked for people to come up here and pray, I went back to the kids and we got in a circle and prayed for you. And, you know, it wasn't elaborate, but it was, you know, I know God honored that. And then from me, just, you know, I can call you up and go, hey, I'm not working today. And you'd make room. You know, I've hardly ever had him say no. I mean, I can't even remember if he ever did say no. And so, Lord, I just pray you'd just help him to be intentional about this thing he's setting out on, and that, you know, that you'd put a wall up so he would get away from that for a while and just protect that, Lord. He's spontaneous, he's available, and I just pray, Lord, that you would, you know, give him a break from that, Lord, and just help him to be intentional about and not lose track of that, Lord, just to protect him supernaturally. Build that hedge around him, Lord, and help him to set out on this thing he's doing, Lord.
So the Lord showed me who he's called you. He's calling you his son. He's going to take you up to the mountain. It's not necessarily you going up. He's taking you up. He's taking you up in him. And he's saying, this time, at this time, you're my son, and you always are my son. You're not pastor right now. He's taking you up so that you and him can have that intimacy, that time where he can restore you to who you really are, your true identity. Not that you aren't a pastor, but this time it's you and him. He's going to take you higher. Not because you haven't been high enough, but it's that intimacy he's going to bring forth through you, that he's crying out for you. I know what it's like to caregive for years. And it was after that, my mother passed away, that he took me into that place. And it was the most amazing place, and it has not changed. He's taking you, freeing you up. It's not just you deciding to have some time. He's arranging it. And something that came to me this couple weeks ago is to the body, let go of your pastor. Let loose of him and let him just be. And you get close to the Father as sons and daughters and step in with him these 5 weeks. And see what God will do when we quit relying on someone constantly. We're grateful and we're thankful for those that step in and serve. But Father, we want Jeff, just like we want everyone in here, to go up the mountain. Go up to the mountain of God and hear what God's saying. This is a time he's shifting us. intimacy to bring forth that sonship that will change things in this earth. Thank you for Jeff, Lord. Thank you that he's real, he's honest, he's open. He's been a voice. He's let us be free. He's encouraged us. And we just want to encourage him, Father, as he goes up the mountain or wherever he goes, you're going to show up. And that he would begin to see those things and hear those things, because he isn't distracted now by other things. And he's going to hear your voice, and he's going to hear the Owen or this or that, and turn this way, turn that way. We just speak peace. Send your angels with him, Father, wherever he goes, and give him an awesome time. An awesome time as he journals the things that you're showing him. God, release those declarations and those things into the atmosphere and break open the heavens above him and above this region. And we just thank you, Father, that you are drawing him close into your heart for his time of refreshing, a time of restoration in his identity. He is a son. Thank you, Jesus.
Psalms 23, I'm going to read this over you. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I just pray that you just pour your oil over Jeff today. That wherever he goes, that you would be beside him. That you would lead him to those peaceful places. Lead him to those streams, those green pastures, Lord. That he would never forget that wherever he goes, that you are with him. That you guide him and you protect him. And just fill him up in Jesus' name.
It takes a great faith to take something that's very precious to you and entrust it to someone else. And just in the, there's just a lot of that that's going to be going around for the next few weeks, because Jeff is entrusting something here at the body that is so precious to him that it actually involves part of his identity, too, as we're just talking about. And he's willing to entrust that to others, and but mostly to Jesus, to take care of. And we also entrust Jeff to Jesus for that time. He's precious to us, and we trust Jesus with him, though. And he is entrusting himself to Jesus as well. And we just believe that that is unto something, that there's a purpose there. This has not never been just about taking a break. It's about doing something new and fresh and valuable in his life. So we're thankful for the faith that it takes to do that. We pray that purpose that Jesus has in mind will be completely filled during this time. There wouldn't be a single thing that would be missed out.
Well, I just prayed and I just prayed and asked if there's a word that he wanted me to give you, and I instantly saw vital signs, and I thought, well, what are the vital signs? And then I thought, oh, I don't need to look them up. Jeff knows them. He's in the medical profession. He was. And but I felt like he is going to do a health check on you. And those vital signs, you know what they are, or you know, it's the natural and the supernatural. I really feel like he's going to speak to you in a checking process of your vital signs and just a healing that's going to come through that. And I heard him say that when it's done, when the vital signs, when all the checking has gone through, he's bringing you vitality. And I looked that word up, and it means vitality is life, life force, health, youth, or ability to live or exist. The word vitality is derived from the Latin word vita, which means life. So Lord, I just speak life over Jeff, vitality, youth, just a youthfulness that his heart would be full again, full of life, full of joy, just full of just seeing the world through your eyes. So I just speak vitality over you, Jeff, and whatever that means. Thank you, Lord.
Just going to sing a short chorus over you real quick.
I just want to share one thing really quick. On Thursday, the Lord said, as I was just kind of praying over this whole thing and studying it, he said, this is really more about me pruning you than anything else. And it didn't feel bad. It didn't feel like, oh no, he's pruning me. It felt like, oh, there must be more fruit coming, and this pruning is important, because I felt like the things that he wanted to get out of the way were the things that were keeping me from him. He wanted to prune the things off that were in the way. And so I was really looking forward to that too.
To you know how you've caught my eye in the secret place where you chose to die. And to caught my eye in the secret place where you chose to die.
I just believe, Jeff, that this is just a pivotal time that the Lord has in your scroll for you right now. And I just feel like he's calling you just to trade in on the trading floor up in heaven, just to trade in all the hurt, you know, all the pain, all the that you're feeling. Just trade it in for more intimacy. Just trade it in on the sea of glass. Just literally just take yourself up there and just lay it down on the sea of glass and just trade it in for more intimacy.
Jeff, immediately when you talked about or spoke about having people pray for you, I immediately heard the scripture, Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. And then verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears. And so, Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing in Jeff. I thank you, Father, for the fruit that's coming. And Father, I thank you that the sevenfold Spirit of God is going to come to Jeff, and I fully believe that, that different aspects or facets of the Holy Spirit of God is going to come and minister to you. And I bless that. And I ask that this time would be sealed as holy unto you, Father. And I just want to speak a word that I've been hearing over and over, and this is kind of a personal thing, but it's a simple thing. And there's three words, and that is, all is grace.
In Lamentations, it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And I know my prayer for you, Jeff, and when that 5 weeks begins, is that you would know his compassions in new ways every morning. That you would, as you've had to extend compassion and these last 3 years with your family, especially, in ways that you didn't know how to do, and you did that well, but that you would just receive the Lord's compassion and for yourself, Lord, or for yourself and how he wants to have it, and just with that would open things back up that you feel like have been closed or neglected.
So they always refer to the Proverbs woman, but you're the Psalms 91 man. You are, you know, specifically because Adonai says, because he loves me, because he knows my name, and he's protected you, and he's seen you through so many times, and he's saying, and when he calls on me, I will answer him. And when you take this journey, he's got it all mapped out. He's got it all mapped out for you, Jeff. And the other one is Revelation 4. And he says, call on me and I will show you. So when you go on this journey, he's way excited. Because he's got such great things to share with you, and you've set this time aside just to be with him. It's going to be an amazing journey. I saw that when Diane was talking about the gates opening. You've got gates in your heart that are opening that have never been opened before, not just the ones that had to close off, and boy, I get that. You know, I get what you've gone through too. I understand that for years. But he's got fresh gates opening up. Fresh gates opening up. Dreams and visions and plans and purposes, and he's going to show it to you. And you are going to revel in it. So I just thank you, Father. I thank you for our faithful friend. And I just thank you for everything that you've put in him and allowed him to pour out onto us. And I thank you for everything you are going to continue to pour into him, and the freshness and the restoration that you're bringing to him starting today and as he continues on this journey of refreshing. Thank you, Father, for Jeff.
One last thing. Maybe not. I don't know if anybody's coming up after this. But I just, too, got a sense of, on the other side of this, of being kind of, wow, I didn't know life could be this good. And so, and I heard that especially about being a grandfather.
Amen.
So, where we've been in deep roots is Ephesians 3. It ends with this. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that immeasurably more that we will hear the testimonies of. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you guys have something to do? It's Sunday. Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate it. He's back.
I just keep... Has anybody ever pruned fruit trees? There's a shape. And so, I mean, I'm thinking of Jeff. He hasn't got all these crazy branches going all over the place because it takes a long time. But an apple tree is supposed to look like a mushroom. And the center is supposed to be open. And there's a reason for that. The fruits, you can get the... So you're, you know, supposed to... You've seen people's places, like an orchard or something. And maybe other people know what I'm talking about. The center is supposed to be open so light can come in. The fruit is available because it's like shaped like that. And so... There's places that nobody's attended to it, so it takes time to get it there. You know, you don't do it all in one. I've seen people just butcher stuff, and you're going, dude, that looks horrible. You know, a fruit tree that's just been chopped to nothingness, and it's not. Anyway, so I'm just thinking, he's already had plenty of pruning, believe me. I know. And so it's just a shaping, and it's a maintenance thing, and it's it's maintenance. You know, you're going in for a maintenance. But so I just kept thinking about the tree, and it's supposed to look a certain way, and it takes maintenance, and so anyway, there's my vision.
That's what this thing is on the top. It's to let the light come in. It's so they can come in. Bless you guys. Thank you so much.